My dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd just like to direct your attention to the second New Testament lesson from the first letter of John, chapter 5. And I'd just like to read to you these verses, 3 through 5. This is love for God, to obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes God. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, I honestly believe that the most difficult vocation in this world, please notice I didn't say deadliest, that's commercial fishermen. But the most difficult vocation is parenthood. And probably I'll take it a little step further and say that it's probably more so with motherhood, because it seems that in most societies, for the most part, most of the mothers bear a greater responsibility for the raising of the children. Now, I guess I say this because, you know, I honestly thought I was a perfect parent until number one was born. Children are an anathema to me. I don't know about you. First of all, you know, when they're born, did you notice they don't come with any instructions? Okay. Well, we have a few. Okay. Bring your children up in the Lord, okay? Fathers, do not exasperate your children, okay? Spare the rod, spoil the child. But, you know, it's much more complicated than that, isn't it? I mean, I don't understand this, but if you have two or three or four children, how is it that you could have the same set of parents and they're born basically in the same socioeconomic situation and yet the two are complete opposites? Or maybe all three of them are different. They have their different personalities, their different ways. So what works for number one doesn't work for number two. And then number three, God only knows, and we end up tearing out our hair. And, you know, we try our best, don't we? And still, there are no guarantees. I remember my predecessor in Faith Dunville. Five boys, poor guy, five boys. Three of those boys became pastors in the Lutheran Church in Canada. One of the boys became a very successful electrical engineer. He was working out of Toronto. But one of them, and I'm not sure exactly which was the birth order there, the last I knew, and it wasn't all that long ago, he was and still remains an outlaw biker. Figure it out, huh? Okay. My heart really goes out, though, to mothers, especially those that might find themselves in the fundamental Christian church. Because you see, many times they're taught, according to Ephesians 5, that they must submit themselves to their husbands. They kind of forget about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay, selfless love. But they emphasize, you know, submit, and they mean obey. That means they have to do whatever the husband tells them to do. And I've actually seen instances where the husband actually comes home and doesn't spend that much time with the child. And the mother, who has and knows what works as far as discipline, the father is all over the mother. Don't discipline him that way. You discipline him this way. And she knows that that isn't supposed to, that won't work. And yet she's being told by the church that she's supposed to obey. Oh, gosh, thank God I'm not her. And then, well, let's make it even more confusing. Then we go to Proverbs 30. And there we find the picture of a woman, a wife, a mother. Actually, she's very free-thinking. She's kind of independent. She does her things in her house. She makes things. She's the working mom because she goes to the marketplace and sells this stuff. And then we're told that the husband should really honor and respect and give praise and thanks to God for his wife. And basically listen to her, you know. Which one are they supposed to do, you know? I know which one I have to do, but I don't know if some of the other ones don't. Yes. Parenthood. Motherhood. Very difficult. I think, though, I have to backtrack a little bit. I got to rephrase something. Maybe there is one vocation, if you can call it that, that's more difficult than parenthood. That vocation, if you want to call it that, is being a Christian. You see, you know our New Testament lesson for today. We are told that because of the love of God our Father, the love of Jesus Christ, his Son, that we have been freed from the slavery of sin and thereby the slavery from death and hell. Our Lord Jesus Christ has called us out of sin and eternal damnation. And he's called us into a new life. A Christian life. He calls upon us as his people to follow his will. To obey his commandments. Did you notice that? To obey his commandments. And what would you say those commandments are? To love him. And the way that we express our love for him is by loving other people. And not just the people that are easy to love. No, loving everybody. Even our enemies. And not just by saying, hey, I love you. Now get out of here. No. In action. Indeed. Helping them in whatever way we can. Obey his commandments. And I'm going to say at this point that, see, this is what's so very difficult, because this really goes against the way of the world. It runs 180 degrees opposite of what the world teaches. I know it goes against what's inside me, myself, okay? Because inside me, myself, okay, it's natural for me to place myself number one, to worry about myself number one, and to forget about other people if I have the time. Which means then that I might live the Christian life 2 minutes out of a week. It's kind of funny. We, on Tuesday, were interviewing pastors up there at St. Paul's. And we were talking about how many Christians leave their Christianity at the door of the church. And he brought up a movie the pastor did. He was a little bit younger than I was, about, it was called Super Christian. Okay. Now, it was made in the 70s. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not. It was kind of funny. Okay. You see, there was this teenage boy. Okay. And being your typical 17, 18-year-old, he was rude, okay, to his parents. Okay. He was disrespectful to his parents. He got into all sorts of kind of trouble. You name it, he did it. I could relate, okay. But then came Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, he became super Christian. And it was funny because he got up on Sunday morning and he had on, get a load of this, a pink leisure suit, okay? Shows you the age of this, with the frilly good old shirt, okay? And there's this burning guitar above him, and he comes out, and he is the most respectful and kind and loving individual to his parents. He does everything that they want him to do. He goes to church, and once again, he is the exact same way, and everybody is looking at him and saying, "What a Christian! What a Christian!" He leaves and he goes right back to the way he was before, the rotten individual that he was, okay? Yeah, that's the way it can be, because that's our inclination. And then on top of it, we have the pressure from the world, don't we? Because the world thinks that if we are really loving others, if we are willing to sacrifice our needs and our desires for other people, we're absolutely nuts. There's only one individual you take care of, and that's you. Well, actually three. You, yourself, and whoever. That's who's important. And what is this service anyhow? That doesn't do you any good. You know? You want happiness, right? You find your happiness in the things of this world, whatever those things may be. Not in helping other people. I mean, get involved in the church. You people on the board, you know what that can be like at times, right? Got to be a little nuts, right? Why would we ever want that? We are friends. Nevertheless, called by Jesus to be Christian. To obey his commandments. And he says here that his commandments are not burdensome. Boy, there's a loaded statement. But I will say this, because you see, really, when we come to understand what our Lord commands, and as we strive to live this, believe it or not, there's a great deal of joy. There is. And satisfaction and contentment. I remember in Sunday school learning what joy meant. Joy meant Jesus first, others second, yourself third. Here's where it's all at. How in the world? How do we go against the world? Isn't it interesting? Jesus comes and he says to us today, you and I, we have overcome the world. Not really. He has overcome the world. It talks about Jesus, water and blood and the Spirit. That water there, it refers probably to when Jesus was baptized. And of course, the blood refers to his crucifixion. Well, you know, I think it's interesting that when Jesus was baptized, that's when his ministry really began, okay? Not that he wasn't beforehand. Of course he was. But after he was baptized, he goes into the wilderness. He does battle against the Satan. He does not fall into the temptations of the devil. And then he comes out of the wilderness, and he hits those roads running, and he goes throughout the countryside proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He tells the people that he is the fulfillment of the suffering servant, the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. He declares that he is the Son of Man, the Son of God, who by his death and by his resurrection was indeed going to deliver mankind from sin and finally death and the devil. And you know, the amazing thing is that because Jesus willingly did this, because he willingly came, carried out this ministry, went to the cross, and then was raised from the dead, do you know, he overcame the world. Might not look it, but he has overcome the world. He has defeated sin and death and the devil once and for all. And let me tell you, it's all in his hands. And when he comes again, the devil can't do anything about it. He will bring it to an end. He's already won. But now the Spirit has given us faith in Christ. He's called us. We believe, not because of who we are or what we are, anything we did, no, through the means of grace, has given us faith. We know the love of Jesus Christ. And we're born again. We're new people. Jesus, who overcame the world, now we have overcome the world. We're different. No longer are we hampered by sin. We're forgiven. No longer do we even have to be hampered, worried about what this world could do to us. Why would it matter? Because we have everlasting life. We have been formed into a new creation, a new people, who, having experienced this love of Jesus Christ, now can go out and overcome the world, quote unquote, with love. Do what the world says is stupid. To love. Love God. Love others. Love. Because ultimately, it's those words and the deeds of love that shine as this light of the salvation won by Jesus Christ. And last but not least, we all know that we don't ever carry anything out perfectly, do we? This is a war. It's always constantly going on. Me, probably, and you too. But the good news is this. Jesus overcame the world. We have too. And even though we will struggle, we will fail, we will become discouraged, we will doubt, the whole bit, the good news is this. We're still the Lord's. He's overcome sin. That sin is overcome in our lives. It is forgiven. He's still there with us. He's still there to pick us up, to continue to go out, and to love him by loving others. On and on it goes until that final day when we really will overcome the world, because we will be free from this mess. Free to live the perfect life in heaven with our Lord. Amen.